Fresno State feels like a program that knows exactly what it is now, and now it's trying to scale it. Yes, welcome on into the Pac-12 Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Christian Rowan. On today's episode, we are going to dive in deep to the Fresno State Bulldogs. Year two from Matt Entz. What does that mean? The vibes are high. Retention is high. But the biggest question, of course, is quarterback. And to help me on this journey to get a good spring update is Al Scott. He's the editor for Fresno Sports Magazine and also for Al Things Considered. Love the name, by the way. He covers Fresno Sports on a new podcast. You can check that out. We'll put it in the show notes below. And I just want to dig into this because Fresno State is such an interesting team. We talked about it a couple times last season, in the offseason as well, adding in some interesting recruits. Matt Entz is starting to really win in the area of the Valley when it comes to recruiting. Now it's all coming together. It's year two of him in the program and, of course, making that transition over to the new Pac-12. What is your big picture theme so far that you've seen from him this offseason and then so far in spring ball?
Yeah, when he first came here, you know, he was very built on toughness. We're going to win the lines. We're going to win the trenches. And that was very apparent when they were able to flip Braden Walton, who, if I'm not mistaken, was planning on going to Washington State. I know that it was another Pac-12 school, and after a very quick conversation, they were able to flip Walton, who ended up being an early enrollee, 12-game starter last year at left tackle for the Bulldogs, and, you know, he's 6'8", you know, 330, I think. Very big dude, and it was a very big piece of their offensive line last year, and is a guy that, you know, is going to be a figure in their plans the next several years, you know, and he didn't grow up very far away from Fresno State. Them being able to retain guys like Braden, being able to retain guys in the Valley like Deegan Rose, who's going to be another enrollee freshman, who's going through spring ball right now, I think is really big. You're not going to get every single, you know, four-star recruit, you know, at Fresno State. If you can keep the solid players, the solid recruits that come out of the Valley, you know, the guys that are getting Power Four offers, but you can convince them, hey, we're building something here special. That's how you take yourself from average, you know, solid group of six school and look at like, okay, we're on the bridge of something more. And I think that's what Fresno State is trying to do. They're trying to elevate this program into being something that it's worth watching at a national level.
And it seems like players want to stay and stick around with Matt Entz. One of the biggest things that we noticed this year, and I think if you went around to a good amount of the group of six teams going into this new year, especially in the new Pac-12 with all the changeover with coachings, things like that, you would look at Fresno State's roster and you'd be surprised that they're bringing back two of their top rushing running backs from last year. They're bringing back their top receiver in yards. They're bringing back their leading interception player. The only things that really are missing are players they left because of eligibility, not because of hitting the transfer portal. Retention seems like a big thing that's working, and that all goes back to that same conversation of Matt Entz is really building a strong identity already at Fresno State.
Yeah, that's something that pretty much every school is – I mean, not just in the group of six schools, even Power Four schools are dealing with is losing players to the portal. If you look at the basketball program, they've lost pretty much their entire roster three straight years in a row. But you look at the football team, they lost one starter to the portal, Richie Anderson. And props to Richie. He got a massive payday, and he's going to have a big opportunity at Texas A&M to, you know, get more opportunities and potential look at, you know, the next steps in the NFL. But beyond that, guys realize that there are still opportunities to win here. Wide receivers coach Delvin Hardaway spoke to the media last week or the week before, and we were talking about Josiah Freeman, who made news this offseason, not necessarily him, but there was a story about Ole Miss trying to recruit him and, you know, offering a lot of money. And Josiah, he wanted to stay here. He's a guy that came to Fresno State, you know, wasn't a starter right away. You know, he was riding the bench. He earned his way into the playing time, battled some injuries, and, you know, last year became, you know, sort of, you know, the number one option. And by the end of the year, he really fell in love with this program. And I think it speaks volumes that you're able to keep a guy like that in your program, a guy that had opportunities elsewhere, not just at Ole Miss. There was other Power Four schools offering not just money, but playing time for him. And he wanted to stay here. And one thing that Josiah noted is that guys have made the NFL after playing wide receiver here. It's not just a stepping stone to, you know, the Power Four ranks. Plenty of wide receivers. There's a guy right now in the NFL that future first ballot Hall of Famer, played wide receiver at Fresno State, Devontae Adams. But he's not the only other guy. So I just think it's the culture at Fresno State. It's the reality that, you know, are you going to be the Alabama? Are you going to be the Tennessee, LSU, Georgia's? No. But you can be Fresno State, and that's not a bad thing. And I think them being able to keep players on both sides of the ball will be really huge for them, not just maintaining, you know, roster, like, talent-wise, but the culture. Culture is everything in football. If you are not dialed in on the same page, you are not going to win a lot of football games. You could have all the talent in the world, but if you don't have the right chemistry, you're not going to win.
Yeah, really good point. And you mentioned you don't have to be those other big-name schools that everybody loves to talk about, but inside the new Pac-12 that starts in July of 2026, they're going to have a much better chance at raising that bar, because I do think this is going to be a much more competitive conference than what the Mountain West has been over the last few years, even though, you know, half of those teams are coming from that conference. Freeman, interesting piece, by the way, what you said about him potentially getting, you know, brought into Ole Miss. He sticks around, leading receiver last year. I got the stats up right here. 52 receptions for 642 yards, 6 touchdowns. That's with all the question marks that happened last year at quarterback. And I want to get to quarterback in just a minute, because there's still some questions that remain here heading into the new year for Fresno State. But when we're talking about this year two jump for Matt Entz, because I think that's something that I want to focus on as we're finishing up spring ball here. You know, we hear about it all the time, that jump from year two, but where does it actually show up on Saturdays? So in some case, Friday nights, when it comes to playing Pac-12 football, what wins them a game this year that they lose last year? What I'm really focused on is, you were 9-4 last year, Fresno State in year one of Matt Entz, but 3 of those 4 losses came from teams that are still in this new Pac-12 conference, San Diego State, Colorado State, and Utah State. So what changes this year that makes that a difference in year two?
Well, I think the biggest thing in terms of winning or losing is turnovers, which is something Fresno State did very well last year. That was their biggest strength. They were one of the top teams in the country at forcing turnovers. But if you look at those losses, they weren't very good at holding onto the football. And that Colorado State game, I'll just say it. That's something that still sticks in their minds. It still sticks in their minds as something like, you don't want to be complacent. Hardaway, who I mentioned earlier, they had a not so good practice last week. And, you know, he was talking about guys getting complacent. That's exactly how you lose to a worse Colorado State team. Yeah. Colorado State, they've got good football players just like you. Now, if you think that you're better, and arguably Fresno State is, you should be able to beat that team. How does that happen? How do you lose to an inferior team? You get complacent. You know, you show up on Saturday and you think, I've already got in the bags. And, you know, teams talk about, you know, they'll leading up to the game, you know, they'll talk about, oh yeah, we're prepared. Well, actions speak louder than words. And so you can say all the right things, but if you're not actually dialed in, it'll show up in the stat sheet. It will show up on the scoreboard. And I think that's just the thing, is you have to go into every single game having that underdog mentality. Fresno State went into a lot of games last year having that underdog mentality, not necessarily being an underdog, but having that mindset of, we're going to win. I had on Jaden Pearson on my podcast this week, and he was talking about the Boise State game you know, obviously being a big deal last year. They went into that game, and he said that as they're entering the stadium, Boise fans are chirping them, and he goes, huh, it's funny. They think that, you know, they're going to win today, and yet I just got off a bus full of guys, and not a single one of them thought we were going to lose today.
Love that.
They went out there, manhandled Boise State. One of the best defensive performances by a team in the FBS last year. And I think it goes to show it. A lot of it comes down to mindset. A lot of it comes down to belief. Can you believe in yourself? You've got a team full of 100 guys, full of Division I football athletes. They've shown that they belong at that level, talent-wise. So yeah. Show it. And I think being able to maintain that over a 12, 13-game schedule and showing up week to week, that's how you rack up the wins. I don't think that there's anything specifically in terms of personnel that they need to do differently. They've got a very solid team. I think that, you know, I don't know if on day one I'm calling them the favorites to win the conference, but they have the talent to. They have the makeup of the roster, the right coaching staff, in order to win, you know, 10, 11, 12 games next year.
Yeah, I think this conference is going to shock a lot of people. I do believe this is a very top-heavy conference. I think there are more teams that could be competitive to win it all rather than teams that will be in a, quote, rebuilding year. I do really think this is going to be fun, but Fresno State is towards the top, if not at the top, no doubt in my mind, for sure. You bring up the fact of they just need to continue that confidence, that mindset. One thing that will, of course, help instill that confidence is having confidence in who is going to be the signal caller in this year for Matt Ensign for Fresno State. The quarterback position still seems like a big question. It was a big concern last year. If EJ Warner, Carson Conklin, obviously getting some snaps towards the end of the season as well, never really felt like that was truly just figured out all season. Even though they went 9-4, if you feel like you've had maybe a more solidified case at quarterback, that could be a 10-11 win last year, a team last year. It makes you really wonder what could have happened. Now you're heading into a brand new year. You will have a brand new quarterback. Tell me about that quarterback position. Tell me about the battle. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What's it looking like?
Yeah, it seems like they're having a new quarterback battle pretty much every year, third year in a row with new quarterback room. They've got five guys in camp right now, two early enrollees, and Campbell and Rose. I don't think they're going to see the field much this year, but they're without a doubt very talented. You know, Rose will have opportunities to, I think, push his way into playing time, but I'm skeptical on him seeing the field this year, just in large part because of two of the guys that they've got up front. Jonathan Kraft is getting more reps in practice and very solid player. I think, you know, he was a redshirt freshman this last year, or a redshirted this last year, will be a redshirt freshman this year. They've got a very young quarterback room. They've got five guys, none of which have seen the field very much. The experienced guy in the Fresno State locker room is Jaden Mendel, who's back after missing all of last year with an injury. He was technically carried as the third guy last season, but, you know, he was hurt all last year. They just sort of kept it under wraps because they didn't really have, you know, a lot of guys. But he's back and healthy, and honestly, this job is not done. Christian Martin, who they brought in from Maryland, is quote-unquote the favorite for the job, but that has – it's not been decided yet. And, you know, you could talk to Jaden and Christian. They're feeding off of each other right now. And I think a big part of having a successful quarterback room is having multiple guys being able to have belief and confidence in each other. Because if you don't have confidence in the guy behind you or the guy ahead of you, how are you going to do your job? I think competition is very healthy. And I think that they have that at Fresno State. I didn't see that the last couple of years. Last year, it was weird. EJ Warner, he's put up respectable numbers throughout his career. It sort of felt like he was a guy on his own island. And it always seemed a little bit odd. I'm not going to go into it, but it just seemed like he was a guy on the team. He was a quarterback, but he was separate from the team. And it didn't really feel like he fit into the vibe and the culture. That feels completely different now. You also had Carson Conklin, who very good at the FCS level at Sacramento State, comes to Fresno State, gets thrown in the fire against one of the best defenses in the country in San Diego State. Doesn't show out well. He goes, wins the game at Boise State. Wasn't really because he played well, but he didn't turn the ball over. He didn't get a lot of more showings after that. I'm curious to see what he'll do at Sacramento State this year. I think that he's got solid potential, but maybe not what Fresno State needed. I think that the Bulldogs will be able to do a lot more offensively, be a lot more creative this year. Both Martin and Mandel are a little bit more athletic than the guys that they've had in the last couple of years. And so I think that you might see some quarterback run options at times. This is definitely still a run-heavy offense, but they will be able to do more with their offense because of the quarterbacks that they have. Martin especially, he's got a really good arm. He's athletic. He's big. The quarterbacks that they've had in recent years, Mike Keene, E.J. Warner, even Conklin, not tall guys by any means. In terms of the quarterback position, Martin's 6'4". And so I think that helps. Size isn't everything, but having a guy with size and speed at the quarterback position is an asset in itself.
Yeah, you bring up the fact about them adding in quarterback runs. That really didn't seem like a possibility last year, but Matt Entz brought it up, one of the spring availabilities, that they're trying to like purposely add in 5-7 quarterback run plays into the mix here. How big do you think that is for the addition for not only offense, because you're bringing back, a hell of a lot back with the receivers, with the running backs, you're bringing back key weapons, but adding one more tool to the belt to have more of an offensive, weapons to the table, if you will, for the lack of a better term. How important is that to add that to the mix?
I think it does a lot for you. I mean, I think for one, the Fresno State offense last year, it got predictable at times. It was, we're running first down, we're running second down. Okay, well, now it's 3rd and 7. What are you going to do? And at that point, you're forcing your quarterback, who is only throwing on third downs, to get you a first down every single third down. And so, like, if you're not gaining 5-6 yards a carry, which obviously is the goal, if you're not getting that every single play, then you're backing yourself into a corner. Now you've got options. Now you've got options, in terms of first and second play. First and second down, what are you going to do? Are you going to run with the quarterback? Are you going to run with the running back? Are you going to, you're going to run, go out, throw outside? I think it gives you options in terms of how you want to move down the field. And I think it's going to help in the run game, especially not just with Martin, but, with your running backs, being able to give them different options, different looks, whether you're running inside or outside. I think the creativity will force defenses to play Fresno State differently this year.
I'd love to get a breakout player from you on each side of the ball, offense and defense. But before I do that, I have one more question about this quarterback room. And we talked about it in the offseason a little bit, especially when Deegan Rose committed. But when you look at this quarterback room, with the exception of Kristen Martin, who came over from the transfer portal from Maryland, you're bringing in guys from the Valley. You're bringing in two quarterbacks from Clovis, California. There's one from Fontana. There's one from Union City. Most of those are from that area, really focused on and continue to focus on building and recruiting in the state of California and, of course, in the Green Valley itself. How important is that you are seeing that build and continue to rise under Matt Entz, if winning in that area as you transition over to the new Pac-12?
Yeah, the Valley's got a lot of talent. You stretch from Sacramento to Bakersfield, that's a big area. Everyone thinks of California as the Bay Area and Southern California. Well, there's another half of California in between there, size-wise. There's a lot of talent in the Valley, and Fresno State has done a decent job at, recruiting that over the years. I think Entz has taken that to another level, and I think being able to retain the best players in the Valley is so important, not just for, roster retention, but the culture at Fresno State and the Valley. Like, people want to people want to root for players not only are good, but players that they know. If, you know, the local star recruit at Clovis High goes to Fresno State and does well, well, guess what? All the people at Clovis High are going to want to keep watching Fresno State, not just because they love Fresno State, but because they care about Deegan Rose. You know, they got from Tulare Union the last couple weeks ago, Samaj Riley, who had Power Four offers, and he decides to stay and commit to Fresno State. Huge. That's a big deal. I think being able to keep guys that, you know, have other offers, it shows that, you know, the younger guys that are sophomores and juniors right now, interesting. You know, these other top guys that I'm playing with, you know, on a weekly basis, you know, during my high school football season, you know, they have these other offers and they decide they want to stay home. Why is that? You know, that speaks a lot to Matt Entz and the coaching staff that he's built. You know, you mentioned, we talked about, you know, maintaining the roster at Fresno State. They only lost one full-time coach last year.
And coaching, that's big too.
That's huge too. They lost Zach Crabtree to Purdue, the offensive line coach. And they promoted that spot in-house. The assistant offensive line coach, Coach Haas, Bijan Hosseini, he went from assistant offensive line to tight ends. And then the tight ends coach, Brian Ferentz, went to offensive line. So they were able to promote in-house, which was awesome for them. And so I think being able to keep the culture, keep the same, you know, leadership in that facility is huge, because that reflects back to the players. You know, guys know the standard from day one. They know the standards that we're going to have on day one of going out to that practice field, because they already know the coaching staff. They already know the players. Everyone already knows the play sheets.
That's huge. That's huge. I didn't even put it in perspective about the coaching staff as well. The players' retention is one thing, but adding the coaching into the mix as well, then you combine those two things. Fresno State is they're going to be an underrated team heading into this conference right away. But again, I do think that it's a very top-heavy conference, and Fresno State is towards the top of that. So take that for what you will if I still think that they are underrated in the mix. Let's do a way too early breakout watch, if you will, to end this show here on the Pac-12 Daily. Give me an offensive and a defensive player that you've seen, that you've been hearing about this spring, that you think could have a huge breakout season for the Bulldogs in 2026.
I'm going to go defense first. I'm going to go offense first. Harold Duvall was a freshman last year. Had a touchdown early in the season. Four-star recruit out of high school, another local guy, another, you know, local recruit. I think that he gets a lot more play this year. You know, he's probably third or fourth on the depth chart right now. I think he could very easily be, you know, one or two by the end of the year. I think he's got the talent, the speed, the athleticism, the hops in order to be an elite wide receiver. Not to add on, but Jordan Malulalu, I butchered his last name, mainly used in the special teams last year. I think he's going to get a lot more play at wide receiver. They didn't lose a lot in the wide receiver room. They have pretty much the same wide receiver room as last year, but I think having that culture is going to be good for a lot of them. And then, as we mentioned earlier, I think the quarterback room will help them. A little bit of a boost in the quarterback position will certainly be able to elevate the wide receiver's ability. On the defensive side, you know, the secondary, there's going to be a lot of new guys back there. It's obviously Simeon Harris is the guy that a lot of people will recognize, Mr. No Panic. You know, one of the top pick guys in the NCAA last year. But there's a lot of unknowns outside of him. I think Taylor Powell, NIU transfer, should be solid for them. Very big, athletic. I think he's 6'4". You know, I interviewed him last week and he towered over me. I mean, I'm only 5'11", but I think he's going to bring a lot of athleticism and size to that secondary. And then in the front seven, they've just got a lot of talent, a lot of guys with experience down there. I think Jazzon Jacks is a guy that can be huge for them again. Led the country in fumble recoveries last year, which, you know, it's a strange stat because it's not necessarily you know, you weren't necessarily forcing the fumble, but being a, I remember talking to Ince last year, he asked him about, you know, what does that tell you? He says, well, it means that guys are on the football a lot, which is something that we preach big time. Is in order to be on top of the football, you've got to be near the football. And, you know, that's something that they preach big time at Fresno State is we're forcing turnovers. We're getting to the football. We're getting on top of that football, and we're changing it. We're giving it back to the offense. And so I think Jax is a guy that will have a big year for them. March and Wosu on the defensive line. But in terms of breakout player, Titus Kajabi, linebacker, started on the scout team at the beginning of last year because of an injury to Kavion Thunderbird. He sort of stepped into that second linebacker role next to Jaden Pearson, who's now graduated. And Kajabi showed a lot. Former defensive line guy in high school. He moves to linebacker in college and has really shined. That Boise State game had that big interception, and has in camp, he's sort of become a leader in spring ball this year. So I'm excited to keep watching him. I think that he's got real breakout potential and be able to be a leader on that defense.
Love it. Absolutely love it. I am so glad that we had this conversation. Thanks for helping me break in Fresno State here. A little spring update as we continue to roll on and continue to keep building up this Pac-12 Daily Podcast. July 2026 is right around the corner, and this new conference is going to be a blast. And I'm not the only one talking about Fresno State. You got a brand new podcast, All Things Considered. Love the name, by the way. Tell me more about that show.
Yeah, I've just started it. Had on Jaden Pearson this last week. He's getting ready for the NFL draft right now. So I got to sit or talk to him and hear a little bit more about, you know, his life, what brought him to Fresno State, you know, fun story about him being Matt Ince's first transfer commit. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a road throughout the Mountain West. I mean, he was at Air Force, then came to Reedley College at JUCO, then went to Utah, then went to Utah State, then to Fresno State. So he is very well acquainted with the portal and a bunch of schools on the Midwest side, west side of, you know, this country. Got to talk to him a little bit about life, both on and off the field. And so, yeah, it was a good conversation. Had Quincy Pondexter on a few weeks ago. But, yeah, it's been going good. Got some special guests lined up in the next couple weeks. And yeah, I'm excited about the future of All Things Considered.
Love it. Fantastic. We'll make sure you put that in the show notes below of this episode so you can go check that out as well if you're looking for more Fresno State coverage. That's going to do it for this episode of the Pac-12 Daily Podcast. Make sure you hit that subscribe button because we are growing and we're not going away anytime soon. July 2026 is right around the corner, but you know us, we're not waiting around. We'll see you back here next time right here on the Pac-12 Daily.